Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. The first 15 minutes of the show, we are going to be talking about Billy's early life, his initial meetings with Svoth, and then we're going to talk in the second 15 minutes about the what's called the Universal Prophet, Nocodemian. The third section of the first hour, we're going to talk about the difference between the term Ishwish and God and what that's all about. And the last 15 minutes, we're going to talk about reincarnation and the seven stages of human evolution. And the second hour, I'm going to have Frosty Wooldridge on, and we're going to talk about immigration and overpopulation and things like that. Edward Albert Meyer is a very, very interesting man. He's 81 years old now. He's written over 40 books, something like, I've heard some people say as many as 65 books. Some of those include The Might of Thoughts, Macht der Gedanken in the German, The Way to Live. It's called Die Art zu Leben in the German. Another one is The Psyche. An additional book is called The Goblet of Truth. And very other interesting book now is The Talmud of Emmanuel. These books are written in German initially and then translated where possible. Back on the 3rd of February in 1941, when Billy had just turned 4 years old, he was living in a little village called Niederflux near the town of Bulach, Switzerland, which is surrounded by the Eichenmoser and Bruder Mountains and beautiful forests and meadows and some very beautiful snow-capped mountains. And that's where Billy started to have his first spiritual experience when it was a warm night in May in 1941. And he went and sat down outside on a bench that his father had made, and he looked up at a beautiful starry night. And he's had that experience that a lot of us have had when we look up at the sky and we're overwhelmed at creation. And he heard a voice in his head that said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And a short time later, the words formed on his lips, and he started saying things like, you know, since ancient times I've lived among the stars. And it was almost like his spirit was speaking through him. You know, he's just a very young boy. And at this time he recalls that he knew who he was, is how he puts it. And he also started then to understand his mission on the earth. And he talks about impulses. And these impulses, he said, came from what are called the storage banks. And our universe has storage banks. Our solar system and our planet have storage banks. So does the galaxy. And information stored there in an energetic way. But Billy felt these impulses, and he had good memories that penetrated him, and he felt like these impulses started to show him the way he had to go in life. And he knew something, then he started to understand something about space and time and about the evolution of everything. And this comes from one of his first writings called How It All Began, and he wrote some beautiful things about creation. Here he says, I recognize that the light which the stars emitted was a light in the visible spectrum. However, the light of true love remained invisible, creational, and for all great time. And here's a young boy, he's 4 years old, and he starts feeling what he calls this unfamiliar longing for a vast distance and faraway worlds. And he says, since ancient times, I've lived among the stars. And he says he knew who he was and what his mission on the earth was. So this is very, very interesting. It's Billy's first moment where he started to wake up. Well, it wasn't much longer after that that he started to get these telepathic messages. This is back in around 1944, 1945. He started to get telepathic messages from a man named Svoth. And I think he was back in 1942 when Billy was just about 5 years old. He started to get these messages. And eventually, he was told to go to a certain spot, and Svoth was going to show up there with his ship. And Svoth landed his strange, silvery, pear-shaped craft in a clearing somewhere. And Billy was taken up in the ship. And later, he would write that it felt as if he was being lifted up by ghostly hands. And Billy was led, of course, in the Svoth ship, and was asked to sit down, and he's looking at these small screens on the ship, and he could see below the ship was up in orbit at this time. And even though Billy was only 5 years old or so, he was already at the development mentally of about a 35-year-old man. And Svoth put his, one of the things that Svoth did was he told Billy about his previous lives. And Billy was told he had been the prophets that we on earth call Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. But not only that, he had been also some very influential, important people that we know, Socrates, Aristotle. He was Mendelssohn, Mozart. He was Galileo. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of his other previous personalities. But Svoth was Billy's mentor for 11 years, and he taught Billy many, many things. He told Billy he would have a difficult life. He told him to stay in the background, that other people would come forward and start to tell his story. And he was told to concentrate on his writings, because in all of these earlier lives, as Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, his teaching was never really recorded properly. It was always twisted and distorted and misunderstood and absorbed into the religions of Islam and Judaism and Christianity and other religions. And Svoth explained that in about 800 years, the people of the earth, generally speaking, will become ready for this information. It's too soon for them yet, except for a small group at first, and then it will grow like a snowball rolling down the hill. And we have Billy's group today is called FIGU, and you have a FIGU headquarters in Switzerland, one in Canada, one in Australia. We have some unofficial FIGU groups here in the United States, one in Ohio, we have one in Munns Park, Arizona, another one I think in New Mexico, and there's probably several others that I haven't even mentioned. I think there's one in one of the Asian countries as well. So this information is slowly coming out. At this young age, Billy is back in the time of World War II meeting with his mentor, Svoth. One of the strange things that Svoth did was he put a device on Billy's head that had many different kinds of wires on it. It wasn't any kind of mind control, but it was designed to protect him from those who would later in his life try to control him or try to get into his mind. It also transmitted great knowledge to Billy, and it was a wellspring of knowledge, and he talks about feeling these very unusual forces penetrating into him. And at that time, he knew events that would occur into the future. And the main purpose of the device was to wake up abilities that he had in his previous lifetimes and to protect him. So Billy's other personalities and bodies in other lifetimes had done similar work here on the earth. So Billy's real name is Edward, which means guardian of the treasure. And he is guardian of what are called the creational natural laws. And maybe we'll have a little time to speak of those today. And the intention of this spiritual teaching is to awaken the human race out of their sleep and to eventually bring the world peace and freedom. And this will also start to begin to teach us about our connection with all things and that everything in the universe is one and it's all bound together and there's a oneness and a connectedness with everything. And this is sometimes called the love of creation. So let's just take a few moments and we'll talk about these other incarnations of the Meyer spirit form. I talked a little bit about Enoch. I mentioned Enoch first of all. Enoch is known today, we call him Enoch. And during his life he was called Henoch. There was actually three different Henochs. One of those Henochs was born in 9300 BC. And one of these ancient prophets is called Elijah today. His real name at that time was Eliah. There was no J in the ancient world, believe it or not, which in itself is a fascinating story. For example, the New Testament is written in Koine Greek. Well, the Koine Greek did not have the equivalent of the letter J. So in the ancient world, they always pronounced these people's names with an I, like Eliah. Today we use the J, Elijah. But in the ancient world, it was neither that way. It wasn't that way at all. And he was never, during his life, called Jesus. Today we call him, or it was interesting, over time he was called different things. The Meyer material says his name was Emmanuel. The letter J, for example, really came into existence around 1550 by a guy named Gian Giorgio Torricino, who was an Italian playwright. And it's very interesting, if you can get a hold of a true 1611 King James Bible, there's one out now that has the J's in it. This was not the first one. The first King James that came out, the 1611, you'll find it says, Our Lord and Savior, I-E-S-V-S, Christ. Now, he wasn't called Jesus in this Bible. If you look back in the Gutenberg Bible, it's the same way. And James, in the 1611 King James, is called, his name was I-A-M-E-S. John was I-O-H-N. The book of Job was the book of I-O-B. So for some reason, right around 1550, 1600, all of these names were changed. That's kind of a bit of a tangent, but that when I first learned that, it kind of blew me away, rocked my world, because the implications of that are pretty humongous. I want to talk about the universal prophet. We live, probably to have this make sense, I'll have to talk a little bit about creation a little bit. Our universe is 46 trillion years old. Our universe, when it was created, it came from an idea, in a sense, of a higher universe called an Ur-creation. The Meyer material is endless, and I could certainly, I need to learn more about that particular topic, but 46 trillion years ago, our universe came into existence, something like a Big Bang occurred. There is also a parallel universe called the Tao universe that was created 46 trillion years ago as well. Our universe has an intelligence in it. It's not a god. There is no god in the sense that the religions teach. There is a super intelligence in our universe that has no personality. Now, I'll contemplate that for the next 10 years. Try to wrap your mind around that. But if you look, for example, and think about an ocean or a mountain range, or a planet, you know, there's no personality there, but there's an intelligence. That's our universe has a super intelligence, but no personality. It's never been, for example, jealous. It's never been angry. It's never discouraged. It's always been neutral, positive, equalized, balanced. It doesn't condemn you. It doesn't judge you. It creates universes as a part of its own evolution. The German term in Billy's books is called Wesenheiten, and it evolves according to a predetermined plan. And during the expansion phase of our universe, it'll expand for 155 trillion years, and then it'll start its contraction phase. Our universe actually is in its first contraction and expansion phase. So it's what they call a young universe. Now, each universe, and there are many universes, brings forth a universal prophet who's materializing as a human being in order to speed up our evolution. And it's important to understand there are different kinds of evolution. One example of evolution is called the conscious evolution of the consciousness. Now, that's the kind of evolution that a human life form goes through. The universal prophet in our Dern universe is known as Nokodemian. It's when you get down to it, it's just a spirit form. Every living thing has what's called a spirit form. Every plant, every animal, every human being. The spirit form of the human being comes into the embryo at 21 days. It comes out of what's called the spirit realm, which is like an energy band around the planet, and it brings with it a new material consciousness. And the spirit form is called the Geist form in the German. And it settles in the center of your middle brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And that's where eyesight and hearing and smell and taste all come together. And when it comes into the embryo at 21 days, it sends energy all over the embryo. The heart starts to beat. Life begins at that point, at 21 days, when the spirit form comes in. Now, the spirit form may have had no previous lives whatsoever, or it could have had millions of years of previous lives. And it's very common for Earth humans to have 4 to 5 million previous lives. Now, we don't remember those at our current stage of evolution because it would be too difficult, in fact, damaging for us to be dealing with information from previous lives. Occasionally, people do truly have memories of previous lives, but it's usually related to a trauma or a lifetime that was cut short, or a shortened time in the spirit realm. You can have people can be pulled out of the spirit realm too soon, especially if there's a lot of overpopulation. So the Geist form, as it's called in the German, comes into the embryo 21 days. It brings the wisdom of all the previous lives. It also brings a new consciousness for the human being, a new conscious mind, a new subconscious mind, a new unconscious mind. Now, programmed into the subconscious mind are the essence of all the wisdom from the previous lives. So when you come in, you're at the same evolutionary level you were in your previous life. However, your material consciousness hasn't been developed at all. Your brand new personality, a brand new material consciousness. So one of the key understanding points in the Meyer information is to understand the difference between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. When I talk about the Universal Prophet or Nokademian, I'm talking about a spiritual consciousness. In that case, the spiritual consciousness of Edward Albert Meyer, but his material consciousness, when it came and it started as a newborn there in Switzerland, it was empty. The material consciousness was empty. Brand new, had to learn how to walk, how to talk, how everything. Even though the spiritual consciousness was 9.6 billion years old. And now think about that for a minute. The wisdom associated with 9.6 billion years of lifetime. The Earth is only about 4.5 billion years old. So this is the spiritual consciousness. Now, I'm going into a lot of depth here. Maybe I'll flow with it just for a minute. But the spiritual consciousness of a human being is not completely, at our level of evolution, not completely aware. What the spiritual consciousness does, what your Geist form is doing, what your spirit form is doing, is it's kind of monitoring what the material consciousness is thinking and feeling. And it's recording. It's like a recording device. And one of Billy's later contacts would say, the spirit never sleeps, it never dies. It records everything that you do. All your impulsations. It will even tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. So it's kind of monitoring, the spirit form is, and it will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong. Now, what is a wrong thought? And the Meyer information talks about the idea of a neutral, positive balance. So if you're having a negative thought, that's a wrong thought. Let's say you had a thought and you were depressed for some reason, just had a wave of depression ran over you. You don't even know what you were thinking that caused this depression, but you felt it. You felt you know, just suddenly out of nowhere, I'm depressed. Well, your spirit form will monitor that, and you'll probably have an uncomfortable feeling associated with being depressed. Well, that is kind of the spirit form. That may be the way the spirit form is nudging you and telling you, hey, you need to re-examine your thoughts, because a depressed thought is never neutral, positive, balanced. So a depressed thought, a negative thought, can only bring a negative circumstance into your life. So even if, say you just got depressed, you tell yourself you're confident, you're optimistic, you're relaxed, you're cheerful, you're enthusiastic, you have to get back to a neutral, positive, balanced state of mind. Now, if you don't, then you will start to attract negative circumstances into your life. It is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, every conceivable thing can be brought into fruition. So you can bring in disasters into your life if you stay in that negative mindset. So one of the spiritual teachings that the spirit form that we're talking about, Noka Damjan, has brought into the spiritual teachings is, what is correct thought? What is a correct thought for the earth human to think? How should we be thinking? And that's one of the big problems today in society, is that we can't control our thoughts. And our negative thoughts can create big, like, grooves in our consciousness that need to be healed. We can create thought patterns of negativity that will rotate and cycle and rotate and cycle. And that's what many, many people are doing. There's a tremendous suicide rate today because people are continually rotating negative thoughts, and they don't know how to fight against the negative thoughts. So if you don't want to believe in extraterrestrials, if you don't even want to believe in reincarnation, then you can forget all that and just hold on to the information that's focused on in the Might of Thoughts, The Way to Live in the Psyche. And these three books will just, in a very practical way, help you to live your life. It's what the religions tried to record, but the scribes did not understand what the teachers were saying. So they wrote the wrong things down, and sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. So let me continue here. I was kind of off on it. So we're talking about the universal prophet. Noka Damjan was 9.6 billion years ago on another planet, in another galaxy. Henoch was the same way, 8 billion years ago. And then there was an incarnation called Semyaza. And I'm not going to talk much more about that, but that was a long time ago as well. Then we here in the West see one prophet called Enoch, but there were actually three Henochs instead of one Enoch. And there was one in 13,500 years ago, one 9,000 years ago, and one about 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. And then the prophets that we call Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the person who we call Jesus today, who was actually called Emmanuel during his life. Very interesting. If you look on the old paintings, like in the Renaissance paintings, and I believe the acronym that they will have posted at the top of the cross is INRI. And what that stands for is Iesus is what he was called during his... In the Renaissance, they use the name Iesus. Iesus Nazarenus Rex Iodorium was the Latin. which meant Jesus of the Nazareth, King of the Jews. It's on many of the old paintings from the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, 1300s. And I studied that for years didn't really know what that meant. But there it is, as plain as day. Other incarnations of Nocodemijohn or Nocodemian, Eliah, who we call Elijah today, Isaiah, Jeremiah, we call Jeremiah, Socrates, Aristotle, Emmanuel, Muhammad, Johann Georg Faust, Galileo Galilei, Mozart, Mendelssohn, Rasputin, and Billy Meyer. So that was a quick rush through Nocodemian, the Universal Prophet, and I wanted to cover that material very, very quickly. Now, there's this term called Ishwish, which is ancient Lyrian for King of Wisdom. And what happened on the earth in the ancient past is very, very advanced human beings were here that had tremendous abilities and tremendous technologies. And some of them include people like Ptah, Pelagon, Yehovan, Atlant, Eris. These were Ishwishes. And the term is applied to men. The term for women is Ishrish. Now, the abbreviation of Ishwish is JHWH, which is a sacred tetragrammaton. Same thing, I'm pretty sure. So, and these are human beings that are in the last stages, the fifth stage of evolution, the last stage of human material existence before we change over into half spiritual, half physical form. So the whole, you see, one of the big confusions of our religions is the invention of the word God, which was an offshoot that came from the term Ishwish. So the ancient title Ishwish or King of Wisdom is millions of years old, and it was brought here by the people from Lyra Vega that was our ancestors. It's been falsified by many wrong teachings over thousands of years. And this was just a title given to a man who had high levels of knowledge, wisdom, insight. He followed what are called the creational natural laws. Like when I was talking before about thinking in a neutral, positive way, detecting that you had a depressed thought and correcting your thoughts, that's called the law of harmony. That's a creational natural law. It's a directive teaching you, telling you how to live in a way that will produce happiness and prosperity in your life. And there's a female equivalent. It's called the Ishrish or Queen of Wisdom. So what happened in the ancient past is this notion of a universal intelligence, which is neither good nor evil, universal intelligence, which radiates love, by the way, was confused with these very powerful people that were on the earth, and then we developed a personification called God that is jealous and angry, and it has all sorts of things that occurred. The Meyer information teaches that Jehovah was one of these Ishwishes, although not an Ishwish in terms of the spiritual teaching, certainly. He violated in certain instances certain creational natural laws. But in our religions, we have this very destructive confusion that's gone on between understanding creation. Let me spend just a few minutes and try to talk about creation. Like I said, our universe has an intelligence. It's neither male nor female. It has no personality. It is evolving. It's not perfect. You know, the term God always deals with perfection. The universal consciousness is learning. It creates universes as a part of its own evolution. It is expanding. It will continue to expand for 155 trillion years. And during that time of its expansion, it will create human spirit forms. It will create planets. It will create stars. It will not create a heaven or a hell. But eventually, after many, many reincarnations, your spirit form will merge back with creation. So there are seven layers of our universe. There are seven counter-rotating layers of our universe. Our physical universe is the fourth counter-rotating layer. It contains all the suns and the galaxies and the stars, and it's called the material belt. Now, there are two belts that are adjacent to it, the fifth on the outside and the third on the inside, and two different kinds of energies flow into the material belt, negative energy and positive energy. And everything in the universe has these, the negative and the positive. They're two forces that belong together and should never be separated because they depend on one another. So this is the way our universe, now our universe is evolving. It's in its first stage of evolution. It is said to, it's described this way, the incredible, the infinite, it's called many, many things. For example, love is the highest creational natural law. And love is the highest principle of creation. And through it, everything exists in absolute logic. Every tiny plant and every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. Love will forever be the purpose of our existence. Love and wisdom go together. And the creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. So we have a superintelligence that radiates love. The incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. So if you see, if you were flying, you know, over the earth at 35, 40,000 feet, and you, if you can ever look down at a river, it's very interesting to see this, these snaking tributaries off the river. It's a very repeating pattern that you can see. These are called fractal repeating patterns. It's called self-similarity. And this is the way creation builds things. And it does the same thing with mountain ranges. You see these repeating pyramid shapes. The spiral of the snails the same way. The galaxy has a spiral. We have a circulatory system in our bodies, very similar in look to the branching structure on a tree, or the, in some ways, the branching structure of a river. So this is the repeating fractal patterns of creation, and this is the way our universe is. It's not the way we've been taught. So the last section here, I'm going to talk a little bit about reincarnation. And a lot of this is based on a book from Billy called Rebirth, Life, Dying, Death, and Sorrow. And some of this information comes from a movie that you can watch on YouTube by Michael Utterbrook from Figa, Canada, who did a really good job. Put that in YouTube and look it up and watch it many, many times. So, the creation that I was telling you about, in order to evolve, it creates a human spirit form. And the spirit form evolves independently through our material consciousness. With each new lifetime, we get a new material consciousness, a new subconsciousness, a new unconsciousness, a new, every part part of our consciousness is new, but in the subconscious is programmed the evolutive values from your previous life. So the spirit form is totally neutral. It has a timeless existence. And the goal of the spirit form is to collect wisdom through these countless incarnations. So we have like seven stages in human evolution, seven stages of reincarnation. And we spend 40 to 60 million years in this first five stages. Typically, we spend 8 million years in a physical body and about 42 million years in the spirit realm for a total of 40 to 60 million, something like that. Well, because our planet is extremely overpopulated, we spend too much time in the physical. We keep getting pulled out of the spirit realm too soon. So we do not learn enough from our previous lives. This is a very dangerous cycle that has continued for too long. And we're going to talk the next hour about the horrible dangers of overpopulation. But this 40 to 60 million years of reincarnation, the first stage is primitive life. Like there are some people on the earth here, like Aborigines in Australia, certain groups in Africa and places like the Congo, where they're still in primitive life. The second stage of our stages of human evolution is called rational life. And most of humans on the earth are in the rational stage of life. And we're starting to build, trying to build a civilization, trying to build a society. The Plarons say we're not really a civilization yet. And you'll probably understand that a little bit more when we talk about overpopulation. We have the next stage of human life, which maybe some of us are moving into, is called intelligent life. Stage three, and in intelligent life, human civilizations start to develop space travel and things like that. They start to develop artificial intelligence. They develop computers, etc., etc. Now, in real life, the fourth stage of human evolution, we get the ability to move from star to star with almost no time passing. This ability to jump from star system to star system makes interstellar travel a reality. And the Plarion can do that. The people from Lyra Vega can do that. And the next thing that we develop very quickly is a kind of genetic engineering. And this is very disturbing for some people, and I understand why. But we will become great genetic engineers in the future. I have compassion for people that are somewhat disturbed by this information. Because at some point in the fourth stage of evolution, we can create sentient life. Human beings can create sentient life. Now that's something we thought that only the Creator could do. But Semyase's centralized computer on her ship is sentient. The Plarion created it, it's biological. It can communicate with Semyase telepathically. So her ship, for all intents and purposes, is a living being with a metallic hull. And all this happens in the fourth stage or real life. Now, in the fifth stage of human evolution, we have what's called life and creational wisdom. And at that stage, where people start to master certain abilities like telekinesis, telepathy, and even things like teleportation, tremendous powers, both of the material intellect and material consciousness, as well as the spiritual consciousness, come into play here. This is also the age of recognitions. And at this time, you start to recall with clarity your past lives. You can deal with the trauma of all those accumulated past lives. That's the first five stages of human evolution. And in the next stage, and I always forget how long we're in this next stage, which is a half physical, half material stage, we spend another 56 million years in that stage, which is a long, long time. And you know, that's almost as long as the first five stages also combined. Well, the next stage, we are in completely spiritual form, and we spend billions of years in this next stage, I believe. There are seven different stages, seven different spirit levels in the seventh stage, and we spend, about 364 million years in those stages. Something like that, which is an incredible amount of time. Eventually, our spirit form merges back with creation. And that's when the whole process is completely finished at that stage. That is a quick overview of reincarnation. There was something that I thought I would read quickly from the Talmud of Emmanuel book that I thought was interesting. And this kind of leads into the next hour. Anyway, if human beings do not turn around in the wrong actions and deeds, and they therefore continue to violate the creational natural laws. Let me give you quickly the creational natural laws, or some of them again. The law of love, we're talking about an impersonal love, is the first creational natural law. It's a law. It's a love out of respect. It's not a romantic love. The second creational natural law is striving. Humans have to continue to strive. Without striving, there is no life, there is no happiness for the human being. There's only hopelessness. If you ever get your priorities screwed up, if you're not emphasizing striving, you can go into depression. It's real easy. Even for a person who's been striving many years, your sense of life comes from your striving. And eventually, you develop what's called an evolutive attitude, where striving becomes your default behavior and it keeps happiness in your life all the time. If you fall into a devolutive attitude where you put striving as a low thing on your totem pole for whatever, you will start to feel like you have no sense of life. You'll have grief, you'll have confusion, you'll have hopelessness. So whether you're happy or whether you're hopeless depends very much on how much you can strive and how much you can continue to strive. Now, the other thing that's involved in this is the third creational natural law, which is the law of harmony, which is the importance of keeping neutral, positive, balanced thoughts. So, for example, a negative thought is not a neutral, positive thought. So you need to correct that. If you're or if you're depressed, that's another. Your consciousness detects that depression. So, a lot of times, because of our subconscious programs, we have a lot of programming. We're programmed to think in negative ways. So, learn to teach yourself. Tell yourself, "I'm confident. I'm optimistic. I'm relaxed. I'm cheerful. I'm enthusiastic. I'm the master of my own destiny. I'm the creator of my own good luck. I'm the forger of my own fortune. I do not allow my thoughts to drift. I steer my thoughts like a captain steers his ship. Is the nature of the thoughts that by their might alone, everything, anything can be brought into fruition." And the universal creation law, which is another creational natural law, says that thoughts enlivened by might and power will have an effect. And that effect is directly proportional to the might and power of the thoughts. So that's a creational natural law. So if you're operating in a family kind of love towards all life, reverence, if you're striving continually, if you stay in harmony in your thinking, detect when you're out of harmony. If so, those creational natural laws, if you can follow those will help you to have a happy life, because out of the good thoughts become good feelings, and from there comes good habits, and you develop the evolutive attitude. So it's a habitual, your neutral positive thinking is habitual then, and then you'll bring you'll have more good circumstances in your life. So detect, learn to look inside and detect when you're thinking in a way that's not neutral positive. So therefore, if the human beings do not turn around in their wrong actions and deeds, and they continue to violate the creational laws, like if they're not in harmony in their thinking, if they don't operate in love for all people, if they're not striving, and one of the creational natural laws is population on our planet, roughly our size, we should have between 500 million and a billion people. We have probably about 9 billion. They'll tell you 7 billion. But if we continue, if we do not follow the recommendations of life, then they will destroy nature and the world and even exterminate themselves. So that's the path we're on. We're on the path of extermination of self. And maybe I'll bring up quickly, and we'll probably talk about this in the next hour or two. I want to talk about an interesting concept from overpopulation. There are 30 million people that are dying every year because of starvation. 30 million people. Just to give you an idea of how many people that is, there are 11.9 million people in Ohio. There are 4.4 million in Kentucky, 6.6 in Indiana, 6.7 in Tennessee. If you added up the population of all those states, Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, that's about 29.6 million people that die every. So everyone, this is the tragedy that's going on Earth right now. Think about four states like Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, Tennessee, where everyone dies, the population goes, is dead every year. That's how many people starve to death. Now, we hear a lot about people being killed with guns and mass shootings, but of course those numbers are so low compared to the people that die from lack of food. The media is not neutral in our country. It's not objective anymore. So we have the equivalent of about four medium-sized states in the United States that die of starvation each year. Right now, there are a billion people in the world that are suffering from hunger. A billion people. So just to put that in, so that's what the book and the Talmud of Emmanuel is saying here. Let me continue. And it will be that the number of human beings unto the ends of the world will come over, get out of control to such an extent that nature and the weather will suffer from it and break down. So that's what we're having. Nature is breaking down. The climate is breaking down. It's people say, well, there's no global warming. What is happening is the climate is breaking down. We're having extremes in weather. And that's why we're having the tremendous fires on the West Coast. That's why we're having hurricanes that are coming all the time. So let me continue here. It says, because every law of nature will be disturbed and its order will break down. And initially, only a few human beings will know that the human beings live not only on Earth, but also in the endless expanse of the firmament, outer space, and the universe. I'm running out of time here. I've only got about 5 minutes left in the first hour, maybe only a minute or two, depending on if the break comes. But I'm going to emphasize that. There's not the term alien shouldn't apply, because the term that should be used is extraterrestrial human. And initially, only a few human beings will know that human beings live not only on Earth, but also in the endless expanse of the firmament, outer space, and universe. And that the human beings live not only in the graspable material world, but his or her spirit in them, the spirit form, reaches into another fine fluidal world that cannot be grasped by the unsmooth, coarse senses. So back to reincarnation. When you die, you're just leaving the material world. Your spirit form is leaving. Your consciousness goes into the spirit realm, and your previous lives, your spirit form goes through your previous life. And this occurs in an area called the overall consciousness block. And that's how reincarnation works. We'll be back in the next hour with Frosty Wooldridge.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.